Welcome to the Soulish Podcast. My name is Whitney Apke, and I'm your host. On the Soulish Podcast, we talk about the soul journey, the body, soul, spirit connection. And it's really just kind of been birthed, this podcast, out of my journey of unboxing my religious and spiritual beliefs and really opening up and exploring so many other ideas, thoughts, beliefs. And so it's really cool to have guests on that are, you know, different practitioners, our healers, our psychics, mediums, our people that just really want to participate in the healing and of humanity and the connection piece of like us connecting within ourselves and our power, our divinity, our sovereignty. And so I love just all the different conversations I get to have with these amazing, amazing guests. Today I have Angie Gray on, and she is a board certified master life coach and hypnotherapist and founder of the New Classic Woman LLC. She has a huge heart and is so passionate about helping women heal and create lives that they enjoy, that they love healing. She really works through, obviously, the subconscious, since the work that she does is really based in the subconscious, and the mastery techniques that she has is EFT and NLP, as well as time techniques or timeline techniques. And it's really, really cool to see her share in this conversation around like ancient spiritual practices like Ho'oponopono and all those different like forgiveness, reconciliation practices. She's been learning about that mind-body connection really her whole life. She grew up Catholic, and as well as she had Baptist origins from her dad, but she had the freedom to explore any belief within the safety of her parents, you know, helping her guide her through that. And so it's really cool because she just kind of has this whole like background. She's just so easy to speak with about any background, religion, belief system, or non-belief system. If you're atheist, agnostic, you know, whatever, she just really knows how to communicate and to work with people of all backgrounds. And so I just love her heart. She has such a humble, amazing heart to help people. And she herself just lives that life of being so open. And she just, I think, evokes that in others. And so it's really a privilege to be able to have her on and to have this conversation, which was really about coming from more of an empowered place than disempowered place. Mindset, belief system, and even the way that we think about things. She even caught me, which was super helpful because I related to something as I was limited. And she was like, but what if that was actually meant to be a connection? Like, instead of seeing that as the thing that was limiting you, that was actually connecting you to something that you needed to connect with in order to fully understand yourself or become more aware of who you are or your purpose or your, you know, whatever it is, like even the present circumstance, like that serves you. And it made me realize, like, gosh, I always say this, that, you know, being triggered is an opportunity, but it's also a vehicle to help us connect even just within ourselves and our history, whether it's your ancestral or it's your past life related, whatever it is, right? No matter what you believe about that. And so I love that. She just has an amazing heart, and she offers one-on-one coaching. She also is doing a new group coaching program that will be out early this year. So this is going to be amazing because it's going to help you manifest your goals faster. And it'll also help you to just really like understand and connect and dive deeper into your history. She just offers such a smorgasbord of amazing, beautiful practices and techniques and tools to help you connect. And really, that's what this whole episode was about, was the fact that we do not have to fear the unknown, and we don't have to fear our own guidance system, our own intuition. Like, a lot of times it doesn't matter what your background is. It's like, there's this hesitation. There's this fear of like, can I trust myself to be guided in this meditation, in this visualization, or in this hypnotherapy session? Can I trust the fact that I'm not going to be led down like some dark tunnel, you know, never to return? It's like, there's just this fear of the unknown when it's a new practice. And if that's you and you're like, I'm afraid, like I struggle with fear, there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. That, again, is a vehicle in order for you to connect. She is like the perfect person to work with if you are somebody that needs someone that helps you feel safe and is not going to push your limits, but is going to help lead you, you know, in this practice in a way that feels really comfy and safe. And also that she's going to take care of you in that process and really know how to, you know, expertly lead you through a hypnotherapy session. That's Angie Gray. So, I hope that you guys enjoy this conversation. We talked about so many different things. My lady listeners are going to love this episode. You're going to be hollering yes. You may tear up a little bit. It's just amazing, amazing episode. She tells amazing stories. We connected so much. I definitely want to have her back on. But this episode is really encouraging around empowering you to connect within yourself, that you have unlimited resources. You have every ability. You have everything within you already to heal, to connect, and to manifest those things, to experience the things that you need to experience, even if they're unpleasant. Because that is still gold. That is still something that helps you connect and experience. And that is this human life. So this episode is amazing. Angie is amazing. Here's my conversation with Angie. I love it. Oh, Angie, it's so good to have you on the Soulish podcast. And I am so excited for this conversation because a lot of the work that you do, I would say most, if not 100%, is to help women heal. And it's to help really just humanity heal. And I think one of the best ways is through women, personally.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love the, just like the, you have like just such an awesome tool belt of techniques and tools that you use, like hypnotherapy, forgiveness practices. You have like a bunch of different techniques and tools that help us connect with our subconscious. And really our intuition, our gut, you know, our inner guidance mm-hmm. system, which is so important. I know we were talking earlier that like a lot of society, culture, I mean, gosh, even apparently our food, you know, blocks your pineal gland. And, you know, there's so many things, whether it's, you know, belief systems or backgrounds or culture even, that has kind of created this inability to connect. Or, and it's not that we have an inability to connect, but there's a block, there's a limitation, there's a mistrust mm-hmm. of trusting yourself and the way that you feel led to go. And I think it's really, really interesting that we're in this place because both of us are mentors, you know, coaches, spiritual practitioners, entrepreneurs. And so we work with people a lot. And one of the things we connected on is that fear element. Of mm-hmm. like the fear of someone going into a practice, a technique where it's just, they're just connecting. Like that's mm-hmm. all that they're doing. This is just connecting. And that can be like, but scary. I don't know. Yeah. And if so I love, before. I love that you help people with that because it's needed. It's so mm-hmm. needed. So I know that one of the things that you want to talk about, which I want to talk about because I haven't heard of this technique. I feel like I've done bits and pieces of it, but not like the setup, and that's timeline techniques, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have that right?
Yep.
And timeline do you techniques. Mind? Yeah. Do you mind going into that and explaining what that is and how it helps us connect with basically it? I guess it deals with this current incarnation, if you believe in reincarnation, right? It doesn't necessarily
exactly.
go into past life or future life. It's really this incarnation.
It can go into future and into past life and past generations as well. Wow. That's one of those things where you kind of have to feel into the person you're working with. I've worked with people who are just absolutely like, you know, they were raised strictly in that strict religious box. And she was like, I don't believe in this. And I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to go into a past life if you don't believe in it. Right. If you don't have to go into a past generation, if you don't believe in it, just stay within your life that you know, if that's where you're comfortable. But it can go into future. So like to get rid of anxiety, you can use timeline techniques. You can use it to help. The main reason that it was created was to help people get rid of the five base emotions, uncomfortable emotions. You start with anger and sadness, and then you go on to fear, hurt, and shame, and then whatever else comes up. Sometimes when you're talking with someone, it won't be in that order. Usually it is in that order because that's how the emotions kind of evolve in our, you know, in our subconscious. But for example, today I was working with a client and there's no fear, there's no anger, there's no sadness. She kept talking about this terror fear that she had. I said, let's visit that. She's like, I don't know if I want to. I'm like, I know. I said, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to, but I think it would be valuable for you to get past what it is that we were trying to work on. And I took her through the time techniques. And what it is you picture the timeline of your life, however you see it. Sometimes it's a straight line. Sometimes it's vertical, horizontal, circle, curved, whatever. Just go with it. You picture your timeline. And then I take you on this guided visualization where you will know where you need to stop. And some people see like movies, they call it. Some people see pictures. Some people just see like colors and sounds. And that's what I see. Like I just see colors and sounds and like this feeling. And I'm really jealous of my other friends who get to see movies and pictures and see exactly what they're seeing. Like, I want to see, like, you know, but it is what it is. And it helps you see these events that you probably didn't even know was a thing. You see these events from like a third person perspective.
Wow.
And then you take the lessons from that event. And once you can see the lessons and really take them in, then it kind of just like balances that harsh emotion. And if we're working on fear, like today, I'll use my client as an example. We were working on fear and she was like, there's other things there. I'm like, we'll come back. We will come back and get rid of those other hard feelings that you want to balance out. Because I don't want to say get rid of, because there are reasons, there are lessons in those feelings, as uncomfortable as it might be. They're there for a reason. They're there to teach us something. So you don't want to get rid of the feelings. You just want to get rid of the emotional charge that's keeping you stuck in that particular moment.
Yeah. Whatever that limiting belief is, or that core belief of not enough, unworthy, or scarcity, or, you know, yeah, whatever it is, or maybe just even the trauma of something that you went through.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You can still have, I feel like that's a healthy, there is healthy fear.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. There is like a level of like healthy anger.
Yes, know? Absolutely.
It's when it's like,
constant.
It's a core. It limits you in some way, blocks you in some way from connecting with others, trusting others over time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
And it helps you trust yourself, because it's hard to trust something, just like you can't love someone else if you don't love yourself. You can't trust someone else if you can't trust yourself. So it helps you to learn to trust yourself, your feelings, and know that your feelings are valid.
Yeah.
It helps differentiate like the big freak out emotions of it. Mm-hmm. And helps you realize, oh, this is that safe level of fear, and I can set this boundary here, and I don't feel bad about it anymore, you know?
That's so good. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Your client, I know we talked earlier, your client had a moment where they were blocked with fear. And were you able to work through that fear of trusting his or herself with the process that they were being guided within? Mm-hmm. And how did you do that? How did you help? I know it's a choice, but
it's kind of one of those things that when you're going through these timeline techniques and you're asking your unconscious mind, what is it looking down at this event? what is it that I'm supposed to learn? And they take the learning, they figure out what the lesson is. And when they figure out what that lesson is, they're able to apply it and say, oh, there's no reason to be scared because everything is going to be okay. Mm. I've made it this far. My lineage has made it this far, you know, like, because when you do the past lives and the past generations, you see all these other women, men, entities that have helped you become who you are.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
It's so cool.
It's so fun.
It's so cool. I love it. That's amazing. I know for me, I grew up Christian, very religious pastor's daughter. And I'll never forget my first past life regression. And it was actually in a prayer intercessor group because I had been so traumatized by my first love. And I was so hurt.
As we all are.
I was 23. My poor little heart like couldn't handle the fact that this guy just, you know, was doing his thing. But because of the construct of religion, it's like, he can't show the fact that he's sexually active. He can't do that. And here I am, virgin, and haven't even been kissed yet by him. And, you know, so I was just so like, my little naive, innocent heart was mm-hmm. like, oh my God, just devastated. I thought he was so evil. So it was just so funny. But now it's funny. It wasn't funny then, but I was so heartbroken. I gave myself 3 weeks. That turned into like 3 years. And of just like heartbreak and just mourning the loss of all the dreams that I had had with this guy mm-hmm. and all the hope, you know, like of like all the hope. I know you're yep. giggling because you're like, we all get it. But it was like I had built up this whole narrative and this whole life I was going to have with him before he even asked me to be his girlfriend. You know, it's just I had so much mm-hmm. hope for my future. I can't help it. I mean, it's one of the things I love about myself. I'm super visual, creative, Aquarius rising over here. So it's like everything is like la. But I was in this prayer intercessor group because I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get past it and why there was such a there was like this pull in the middle of my chest. I felt so hollow. And the poor guy wasn't even like, he was never abusive or mean or anything. Like he just was on his own exploration, you know, like he wasn't doing anything wrong, minus not just not being honest with me, you know, but he was mm-hmm. kind to me. But I like couldn't get over the trauma of I felt so abandoned, so rejected. I'm like, he didn't even do anything. Like if I break it down, I mean, the worst he did was just not tell me, you know, right. He confessed it though. I mean, like, come on. But I was like, something is connected here and I don't know what it is. And so it was a Chinese man. He was like from Northern China and two women. And they're just like praying intercessors. So they pray in what we know as light language or speaking in tongues in Christianity. And all of a sudden, no joke, I like doubled over in the chair and I started speaking, like chanting this ancient like language. And I knew my own like spiritual language because I'd grown up with it. So I was like, this is not mine. You know, like this does not belong to me. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But it was like, it wasn't just chanting. I was like heave sobbing, like, oh, like oh one of gosh. Those where it was like, oh my God, like what's happening? And I wow. thought, oh my God, I'm possessed. I'm possessed. It's coming out. You know, I was like, I don't know what's happening, but it must be a demon, you know, because that's just oh, what no. I was taught. So I was like, it's true. I always thought, you know, I wonder if I'm possessed and this is when it's happening and it's coming out. And so I was just terrified. But as soon as I got over it and I started to like lean into what was happening and just stop freaking out because nothing else was happening. You know, I was like, there's no extrication of a demon right now. So, so I'm just going to lean into this. And I just started getting flashes of a past life as a Native American woman. And it was like wow. this whole battle between tribes. I had no idea if it was my Cherokee, because I'm Cherokee and Chippewa. I'm like 1/8 Native American in total, and I have 1/16 in Cherokee and 1/16 in Chippewa. And so I was like, gosh, like I don't even know what I'm seeing right now, but I'm in a hut, I'm clutching my baby, And all of a sudden, I knew that he was mine, that he was my partner. And he came in and said, I'm leaving. Like, so you can either stay here and hide, like, good luck to you, or you can run. But those are your two options. I'm not staying here with you. I'm leaving. Like,
oh my goodness,
we're done. You know, like this, like they're coming, they're killing everyone. So we're losing. So you either need to leave or you need to go. But I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be with you. It was kind of like, go, you know, he just told me go. And so I'm like, oh my God. And so I like look out of the hut. I see every, just awful. I won't even go into it because it's too graphic, but like just how you would imagine a tribe taking over a tribe. And I basically tried to sneak out. And as soon as I ran out of the hut, someone grabbed my hair and pulled me back. And so I'm clutching my baby. They killed my baby. They took me off and I was a part of another tribe. That's where it ended. Was that basically someone took me for their prize, right? So I come up out of that and I'm so disturbed. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, what happened? Because I felt everything. Like, I'll never forget the feeling of my hair getting taken and pulled, my head yanked back right when I'm crouching down and about to sprint for it. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. wasn't expecting that. And just the feeling of utter horror and that feeling of abandonment and rejection that I had felt, and just immediately realizing I'm on my own. Like, you're mm-hmm. not even going to protect me or help me get out of here. Like, you're just going to go. And just realizing how, like, this is my partner. This is my life partner. This is my husband, technically. Mm-hmm. And yet they're just completely leaving me. And so when I told them that, they were like, that's where it's from. it must be from that. God's just showing you. It was like, they didn't tell me like, oh yeah, that was your past life. Cause Christians don't really believe in that.
Right.
But they're like, oh, this must be ancestral. Like, you just saw, which it could have been, could have either been ancestral or a past life. I have no idea. But I think it's moments like that, that I'm sure you've seen with your clients where it is like, whoa, you know, yeah. like this is something. As a Christian, I was like, I've never experienced anything like that ever. And mm-hmm. since then, I've had plenty of past life regressions to know, like, yes, like I was Native American at some point, you know, like right. maybe in multiple past lives, or if not just a handful, I don't know. But for sure I have been, because I've had several since then. But I think something that is so freeing when we allow ourselves to trust the process, whether you're coming from a religious background, spiritual background, agnostic, atheist background, we have such knowledge, whether it's in our DNA mm-hmm. or spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it. Like, all we have knowledge. Yeah. And that's where we have the ability to tap in. I was going to say tapitable, but that's not a word. It's tapitable.
It is today.
It is today. I've made it so. But it's, you have the ability to tap into it and to experience it, to unlock it. And that brings so much understanding, deeper understanding of why something has such an anchor and a hold on us. Mm-hmm. It's blocking us, limiting us from fully connecting or healing or moving forward. So, and I think it's so cool.
It kind of is like, is it blocking you from that, or is it connecting you?
That's so good.
You know?
Ooh, Angie, say that again.
Is it blocking you, or is it connecting you? Because if you didn't have that feeling with that boy, that bad boy who hurt your heart, that evil man who hurt your heart, you wouldn't have been able to access that.
Right.
You know?
That was my opportunity.
That was your opportunity. And I'm sure you got some strength from that. And I'm sure you also got some lessons from that, you know?
Major.
Yeah.
Major. Mm-hmm. I love what you just said, again, because I loved it. Because instead of seeing as things as a victim, if we see life experiences as a vehicle, as an opportunity, mm-hmm. that's a more empowered state than thinking, mm-hmm. oh, I'm limited in some way. Mm-hmm. So thank you for reminding me of that, because I think I can still so much be in that, like, oh, I was limited by this. And so then I couldn't move on. But actually, maybe that was the entire setup was yep. for me to have that past life regression in order for me to have a deeper understanding of me.
Right. Right. So. Exactly. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the pebble, the rock, the boulder, the mountain, it's a good thing that it was then. And you got that lesson right then, you know, cause it could have, mm-hmm. those lessons could have gotten bigger and more traumatic, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you listened.
Me too. Since then it's been so many more, but in different clothing and yeah, but it's so fun how life does that. And I love the fact that we have tools and techniques, you know, that we're not limited even in the way that we can connect. Mm-hmm. And so I know that you do NLP. And what are the few that you have as well? EFT.
I love hypnotherapy. It is one of my favorite things to do. It's amazing.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I've had one hypnotherapist, now you, on the podcast, mixed two. And what I understand from the hypnotherapy is that it kind of actually makes you even more aware of when you drop into your subconscious, because we do when we're driving, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, I mean, of all times, watching TV, maybe even eating, mm-hmm. if you're eating and watching TV for sure. Mm-hmm. But we actually reading, we go into that mm-hmm. state a lot, right? So what are some things that maybe little bits that you could provide of ways for us to connect with ourselves throughout the day? Is there like different techniques or just like little reminders that you can give us as far as like dropping into your subconscious, connecting with your intuition, your inner guidance system?
I know this is going to probably sound very cheesy and you've heard it a billion times and probably everybody else has too, but it's breathing, making sure you're breathing, you know, and like just those four deep breaths all the way to your belly, holding it, releasing it, the four count breath. Do that four times, get you back to where you're back to your center. And then from there, you know, if there's a mantra or like just an affirmation, the one that I started with was, oh, I wish I could remember who I got it from. Maria Piers, I think who I heard it from, but it was, I am enough.
Mm.
That is powerful because we're not taught, most of us are not taught that
no.
you are enough just as you are. Yeah. You don't need anything else. You have your breath, you have your thought, and you can, for the most part, learn to control your thoughts because thoughts are just patterns. And when you take in your breath and say, I am enough, and you do that as a habit, you're good.
Yeah. Like you're set.
Yeah.
I love it. What are some of your affirmations or mantras that you do now?
I am enough is always there. I am worthy. I am capable. I am loved. Like, and I notice I do these things when I feel triggered in some way, you know, like, because this work is constant.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to end. There's so many layers to that onion. It's the never ending gobstopper. And things will just always come up, like being a mom, like constantly. I'm like, oh, I did this thing and I didn't want to do that. That's what I've been trying to not do, you know, but it's like, I am the mom for my son. I am doing the best I can with what I have right now. That's a good one to remember about people who trigger you. Mm-hmm. Everyone is doing the best they can with the resources they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, and that, yeah. And you have to remember that for yourself too. I'm doing the best I can with the resources I have. I am exactly where I need to be. That's one as an entrepreneur. I'm exactly where I need to be right now.
Yeah, that's not easy. Because we're constantly yeah. like, and we need to be further down the road.
Exactly. But yeah. you're where you're supposed to be, just like you were where you were supposed to be with that first visit to your past.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good. I'm just curious because I just really, really like who you are. You're just an amazing person.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, what is your background? Like, what led you to this work?
So, I am half Filipino, and my dad is American, and he was brought up strict Baptist. My mom was brought up strict Catholic. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness they had the sense to not make me go down a certain path. They were like, you're going to figure out all these different things. That's something for you to decide when you're old enough. You will know when you have decided, and you can always change it. I was like, yeah, I did not understand that as a kid, but I am so thankful, you know. They were like, anything you want to try out, try out. It's like trying on clothes, just try it on. But they were also like, don't be dumb, you know, like,
don't be stupid though.
Yeah. Don't be dumb. And they were like, ask us before you try something because we still want you to be safe. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, she always was like playing in the garden, talking to these little gnomes and fairies. And I thought I could see them. My sister thought she could see them. And for some reason, those gnomes and those fairies in the yard only showed up when grandma was around. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what that meant growing up. I thought she was just a cool lady who played with us, you know. Come to find out, after I learned time techniques and I go down and I have my first regression like you, like I see all these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is real. Like this is part of my lineage. This is everything grandma had taught me. And she told us growing up, me and my sister, all the women in our family have this. It is up to you to decide if you want it or not. Wow. She was like, your aunts have it, but they deny it. Your uncles have it, but they deny it. And she always told me, she was like, don't let your light out. That is what is holding the women of our family together. Don't let the light out. And that comes quite often. Like when I'm not thinking about it, you know, I'll hear her voice and say, don't let the light out, shine the light, you know, be the light. But she told me about her. So it would be like, I can't even tell you like how many great grandmothers, but it was like her great grandmother, that they were, considered medicine women in the Philippines. And it got to the point where when the Spanish came to take over, they had to hide it. And that's where Catholicism came into play. Yep. They hid it in the religion. I'm like, that's smart. Mm-hmm. And even when my grandmother was going to college, so I would say pretty recently, you know, she was the medicine woman. She was the abulario, and some people called her a witch doctor. It got so bad to the point that she was like, I'm going to go to school to become a botanist. I didn't learn this until after she passed away, that she went to school to become a botanist as a way to hide it. Wow. And I'm like, that's amazing, because she was still able to practice her, you know, who she was, but she was able to, and she was able to access more people. Mm-hmm. Because now she's got a PhD in botany, so people trust her on a different level. She always told us that we had these gifts and it was up to us. And it wasn't until after I became, after I gave birth to my child, that I started hearing all of these, like, it was like she was right there. Wow. You know, she was telling me all these things. And it was like, I was having flashbacks to when I was like 7, sitting in the room with her, and she's telling me, like, this is what you do when you do this. This is how you do this. This is the importance of this. And even then it was hidden. Like, you know, these plants do this, but I'm telling you that it's for, you know, this one thing, but really it's for this, you know? And I didn't see it until after. And after that is when I got into NLP and found time techniques, which I was thought time techniques was going to be a bunch of crap. I was like, I'm just going to sit through this class and get mm-hmm. through it. This is where I draw the line. This is weird. And then
this is too woo-woo.
This is weird. And when I went through it, I still went with an open heart, open mind. And I was like, whoa, this is legit. Like, I could have never pictured myself as the head of these women, protecting these women from the Spanish, you know, coming in.
Gosh.
So when you were telling me your story about the two tribes, I was like, yeah, I understand that, because I have no like connection or, you know, logical connection to it.
Right.
But when I was taken there, I was like, oh my gosh, like I am supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. This is what the women in my family are supposed to do. And I am the one who gets to do this now. Like I'm about to tear up, you know?
Dude, I'm like, I'm trying to hold back over here.
I'm trying to be cool.
Just smile.
Yep. Blink.
My chin, I'm hiding my chin under beneath the mic to make sure you can't see it quivering. Like, because this is what gets me with your story, Angie, is that I really feel that, yes, women, and I'm going to get into it, sorry, but women have been oppressed for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. We have been put into a certain role, into a certain way to dress, act, speak, don't speak, all the things, right? And across all cultures, women have been disempowered and totally just put into this box of you just bear children. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like what is so significant with what you said, which I heard, that when women give birth, I feel like we are not just a vessel, but we're a portal.
Yeah.
So it's like you are literally opening up for this soul to come through you. And so of course, like at that moment, your grandmother is going to come back, or you're going to hear her more clearly because mm-hmm. you're so much more open than you maybe would be at any other time, right? It's like mm-hmm. you're just like this open portal for her to speak to you. So I think that's super cool. But how amazing is it that women, I know that there's men out there that are called to be healers as well, but I feel like there is this there's this level of authority, because I really think that whatever, and I say this to my clients, and I'm sure you say a version of this, that whatever you overcome, you now have authority in to speak to somebody else. It's just energetically how it is. You've unlocked something. You now are able to unlock it in someone else. And that goes for the work that we both do. Mm-hmm. But I think what is so powerful is for centuries, women, you know, thousands of years, women have been put into this role, disempowered, put down, you know, killed off. You know, there's so many things. We're a vehicle of wealth to be transferred, you know, and hierarchy and all the things, right? And here we are, and we have such a history of being medicine women, healers, magical, you know, we have such an ability to tap in because of our intuition. And we just, I don't know, women are just like, I don't even know how to describe us. We're just so,
we're amazing.
We're amazing. That's the bottom line. So I just think it's so cool that what has happened is that there's just, because of society and just how it's all happened with our individual histories, it's just not been passed down as much. You know, some women I know, I hear they get the whole history, you know.
So lucky.
So lucky. I'm so jealous. I'm jealous of you even. I'm like, oh, like if I
you
had
have it too.
I know. Like none of my grandmothers, they were both super, one was just a doll and super quiet, but she passed away early on in my childhood. And then I have a grandmother who's still alive, but very religious. And she's, her soul is dealing with so much, but she is not ever tapped into her abilities. Like how she could have the potential to, but that's okay. Try again, come back again and do it.
Yes.
But I think it's so cool because even with just even how our cycles go, like just even like the basics of procreation and giving birth. I mean, I've seen just this explosion of like doulas, midwives, people having home births and having pain-free births. And it's like the, all of these things that we've, like these constructs that we've been taught, you know, just even as women, it's just, it's breaking down. And so I think we're really in this time where we get to fully express for the first time ever, you know, with no shame and no fear, because no longer can anyone come after me with pitchforks. I mean, I'll knock you down anyway.
Right.
Yep. You know, it's like, I feel like so fierce, so entitled and so fierce. It's like, come at me, you know, but
cast his hands.
Yeah. It's like, man, I just feel like I have like the magic abilities. Like I can do this clap and boom, you know, like, I wish I had like all the superpowers that are in every movie. I'm like,
I'm sure we do.
I'm sure we do. I just haven't tapped into it yet.
Exactly. But we have to find it.
But that's how I feel on the inside, you know, is that I could just like do some like really cool thing and like force field. But we are so powerful and we're so amazing, like you said. And it's so cool to see that you even, like, I fully believe that you saw the fairies and that you could talk to the plants and the gnomes.
Oh my God, they were there.
I fully believe that. And it's like, you can still do that. And you can pass that on to your son or in your future children. Like you can share it with other women and other girls that, you know, it's not just play, but play is actually super creative and super powerful because you're tapping into your intuition and your creative abilities and you can make anything real. It's just the power of your belief. And so I think, again, coming back to our intuition and our ability to connect, it's like, God, it's endless. It's endless, the abilities of what we have to connect to experience, to create so much. It's so cool.
It is. It really, really is. And the thing with the fairies and the gnomes that I never got back to, sorry.
Oh, good. I think I took you somewhere.
Oh no. No, I went there and forgot. But the thing with the gnomes and the fairies and all these little creatures is that is ancient Tagalog, which is Filipino folklore. So all of these deities and things that my grandma was speaking to and saying these things to and teaching us,
wow,
like that was part of her teaching us, you know, about our history in ways that, you know, a 5-year-old wouldn't understand, you know.
But it's so cool.
That was so amazing.
So and then, amazing.
Yeah. And the thing you said about when we become mothers, I forgot this. So when I was pregnant, my husband had to leave on deployment 2 weeks after we found out. Oh. And I was like, I want a home birth. And he was like, I won't be there. I can't. I don't. That's where I my comfort level. No. And I was like, okay, I get it. You know, if you're not going to be there, I get that.
Yeah, he wants you to be safe.
Yeah. So I was like, I completely get it. So I was like, I don't want an epidural. I was scared of an epidural.
Oh,
you know, I've heard
terrifies
too many
me just the thought.
Yeah.
I hate needles.
I just heard too many stories about it not working.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's gotta be a way I can do this on my own. I've been able to do all these other things. Why can't I do this? And everybody thought I was crazy. And I was like, there's gotta be a way. Google, help me. And I found out about hypno babies. I couldn't afford the class. There were no classes around where I was at. So I was like, let me buy all the books. That is what got me into wanting to learn about NLP and really become certified in it, because I ended up not having an epidural. I ended up having a pain-free, for the most part, pain-free birth. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. Like,
everybody thought women have orgasms while giving birth. It's like the most pleasurable, amazing experience. And I'm like,
I was like, if I can go there, that would be great. But I just want pain free.
Yeah. We just, to this level at least.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. Like, objective is not to have an orgasm. Objective is to not suffer.
And in pain. And I didn't want to poop.
Yes.
Poop either.
God, why does that have to happen? I had a friend who was like, I'm going to eat nuts and dates. And I was like, I mean, I would think if you eat only nuts and dates that you're not going to poop.
You're not going to.
Unless you eat a hamburger right before you start, then maybe. So funny. But it's so cool. There's just like no limits to the abilities of what we can tap into. Hypnotherapy mm-hmm. being one of them. And that can take you in so many different directions. And that's so cool. I want to ask you this last question, because I'm just curious with where you're going with your techniques. Like, do you often use all of them together with a client, or is it just kind of what they're more gravitating towards or feel comfortable with? Is it something that you can just use like bits and pieces of each thing to help a client? Or is it kind of like really more strict of like, if we're doing NLP, we're doing EFT, we're only sticking to this and it's a practice that we're taking? What is kind of your style?
I would say all of the above. In the beginning, you know, I was like, all right, this session, we're going to do this. This session, we're going to do that. And for some people, that makes them more comfortable. You know, so if, like, say you're one of those people, if I can see that you like having a checklist to check off, I will figure out the best plan of action, which way to take these techniques with you, you know, so you have that checkoff list. But if, when I'm working with like my ideal client, you know, whatever she comes to me with, I'm able to hear what she's saying, because NLP is the structure of the language. So you're not listening to the problem. You're listening to how she's interpreting the problem.
Wow, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. So from there, I can change my language patterns to help guide her to the language pattern, to adopt the language pattern of the outcome that she would rather have. That usually, you know, takes a couple of conversations to get your base patterns down, but it can be done in a like meeting someone the first time, you know. But usually I like to just take it as it comes. You know, some people like to know what they may or may not work on next week, you know, and some people are like, yeah, let's go for the ride. You know, whatever you think you need to do, let's do it. The session that I had recently, we started with parts integration. We never got there. We did time techniques. And while we were in time techniques, we ended up doing some inner child healing as well.
Wow.
That was like, I was like, let me pull it all out. You know I can do it. And the outcome was absolutely beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was that part of me that in the beginning was like, uh-oh, you're not going to be able to do this, Angie. You're not going to be able to do this. And instantly I was like, no, you got this. You know all of this stuff. Just trust the process. And it was weird because it's like, I heard that. Just trust the process. She's on her own process. You're here to guide her. That's all it is. So anything a client needs, I can help them through it. And usually there's a couple of techniques that will come to mind that could work for that particular client, that particular issue, that particular time. And I'll mm-hmm. say, so this is, you know, EFT is this, time techniques is this, hypnotherapy is this. What sounds most fun to you?
That's so cool.
And then we'll go there. So it just depends on the client, yeah, and the day and the issue, you know, because it's always different.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I love that. And I know for those who, you know, have connected with you during this conversation that want to work with you, it's cool to hear that. I know most practitioners also do that too, but I feel like you are so led with your intuition and your guidance. And I also really love your humility in saying like, look, I don't know if I can do this. And the truth is that as practitioners, we can't really do anything. We can just facilitate and lead someone through
exactly
something. It's really them. But I just love that humility, because that is what I feel keeps us grounded and in tune and connected, because we understand that we have the ability to connect, but we also know that there's so much that we can connect to. And so when we realize, like, I think I've come to the end of what I know how to help this client, but I know that there's more. So I know mm-hmm. I can tap into that. And I think that's such a cool growth experience for us as practitioners.
Oh my gosh, yes.
If we're not doing that, we can't expect anyone else to be doing that, you know,
exactly,
in their own life. So that's like amazing. I love that you do that. You have such mm-hmm. an amazing heart.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for this conversation. This was amazing. I love where we went with it. And I just love the work that you do and the way in which you do it, which is very unique to you. Where can people find you and connect with you?
You can find me at my website. It's www.thenewclassicwoman.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at I am Angie Gray, AngiGray is where I'm at most.
Very cool. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.